Gracious God, send your Holy Spirit now and help us to understand your word which has been read to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit down. I travelled by train to Edinburgh recently. Passengers were being exhorted to stay safe. Keep your distance. Wear a mask. These intercom messages were repeated over and over. And a little girl near me answered indignantly, "You've said that already." We all knew how she felt. But what does it mean to stay safe? What makes for safety? What, in the larger scheme of things, what in our lives is urgent? What is important? What is essential? What do we really, really need in order to flourish? How do we set our priorities? Now, we've got two suggestions in our readings today. The gospel offers food, spiritual food, to nourish the inner life. The passage from Ephesians suggests spiritual clothing to protect our inner selves from harm. Food and clothing, that's basic, isn't it? So let's take them in turn. Let's take the gospel first of all. Jesus says, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them." Eat my flesh, drink my blood. That sounds disgusting. No wonder some of Jesus' followers were offended. The original language is even worse. Many of his followers turned away. So Jesus asks his friends, "Do you also wish to go away?" Now, of course, they couldn't understand what he was saying, but they knew how important he was. So Peter answers, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." We've come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. There's real passion here, isn't there? There's an urgency to the exchange between Jesus and Peter. Jesus already knows the shocking truth that he must die. He must die so that those of us who believe and trust in him may live. Life, our life, is drawn from Jesus himself living in us. Just cast your minds back. The night before he died, knowing all too well what was about to happen, Jesus took bread and broke it. "This is my body," he said. Broken for you. He took a cup of wine and blessed it. "My blood shed for you. Eat, drink, and remember me." Bread. Practically everywhere, a staple food. When I was a child, there were only two sorts of bread, white and Hovis. Now, how many different kinds of bread are there? White sliced, wholemeal, granary, sourdough, pita, flatbread, wraps. Do you want to add to the list? There are plenty more. Red has a long biblical history. Hurriedly escaping from Egypt, the Israelites took with them unleavened bread. In the desert, God sent them manna. Bread is central. It's central to Jewish and to Christian spirituality. And as well as being a spiritual food, it is, of course, now everywhere a basic food. But recently, in Jordan, archaeologists have made a remarkable discovery. A hearth with fragments of bread baked 15,000 years ago has been found. What's more, this bread was baked to use in a religious context. They weren't just baking it for food. This was for a religious ritual. That's 5,000 years older than any previously known bread. It's 4,000 years before the development of agriculture, and it's 3,500 years before the birth of Abraham. This ceremonial bread was made through the painstaking, difficult, and uneconomic process of gathering wild cereal seeds. Bread for religious practice predates bread as food by millennia. So we have these two aspects to bread, the spiritual and the physical. So that's spiritual food. What about spiritual clothing? Let's turn to Ephesians and the armor of God. Paul describes this armor, and I want you to imagine yourself dressed in it, dressed in a helmet, breastplate, and shield, and brandishing a sword. Just picture yourself. Is it a romantic picture, like King Arthur with Excalibur? But what Paul is describing is not metal. It's a spiritual armor to protect Christians against evil. And Paul makes it clear that the struggle is real and huge. But fortified by God, we can stand firm. We mustn't retaliate, but we can stand firm. But perhaps that begs a question. In 2021, do we need armor? Well, we may not be as physically vulnerable as, for example, those desperate women in Afghanistan. But even we know that, with our mayo, most of you wearing masks even now, we know quite a bit about protective equipment, don't we? And that's just the physical, superficial side. What about the inner mask? Perhaps we do need battle dress to protect and strengthen our inner selves. I've been listening to some of you, and I'm aware that many are close to heartbreak. There are enormous pains and pressures, anxieties about health and family and workplace demands. Even here in St. Bartholomew's, life in an interregnum is hardly easy, particularly for church leaders. So let's get dressed. First, the belt. What's a belt for? To fasten a skirt or a pair of trousers, to hold our keys and our cash, maybe to tuck in a weapon. A belt holds things together. And what about the belt of truth? The belt of truth holds together, makes sense of all that we believe. Jesus, standing before Pilate, says, "I came into the world to bear witness to the truth. And all who are on the side of truth, listen to my voice." Want to know the truth? The truth is Jesus. Next on, the breastplate of righteousness. What's today's equivalent, do you think? Maybe not a breastplate, but perhaps a stab vest. A stab vest protects vital organs, heart, lungs, etc., from vicious injury and attack. Our God-given righteousness, our integrity, is our vital barrier against those stabs of deception, of temptation, and of corruption. And we need protection from that. Then shoes. The Greek god Hermes, the messenger of the gods, is pictured with wings on his feet. St. Paul wants us to be swift. He wants us to be eager to spread the message of the gospel of peace, to be enthusiastic about our belief. The shield of faith. What's that for? Well, we're told it is to quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. Today, from where do the most pernicious attacks come from? Surely it's from the internet and from Facebook and from trolls. For example, those attacks on the black footballers after the England-Portugal match. It was absolutely vicious. Now, I myself have been the victim of harassment and hate mail, anonymous, needless to say. And frankly, it is terrifying. What do we have to protect us? Nimbly exercising our faith, our belief and trust in God, and mobilizing others to join us, that all of that can help us in the battle. And it is a battle. But take heart, the victory is ours, or rather it is Christ's. Put on the helmet of salvation, says Paul. What's the modern equivalent of a helmet of salvation? Perhaps a crash helmet. A helmet protects our heads from damage. The brain, the seat of judgment, the seat of thought, of knowledge, of rationality. Our firm knowledge of salvation is rooted. What we know and believe is rooted in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We know that we are redeemed. St. Paul says, "Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Thank God for giving us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." Finally, our only weapon is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Do you carry a weapon? Now, I have to confess that I do. Here it is. It is my Swiss Army knife. It's more of a toolkit than a weapon, but I don't think it would be an awful lot of use in self-defense, but it does come in handy and I keep it in my pocket. Our weapon of choice for us is the Bible, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Scripture helps us to understand the journey that God has made with us over, you know, thousands of years. But ultimately, the word of God is Jesus himself, the incarnate word, God made flesh. All this armor goes back to Jesus. It is in Jesus we find the way, the truth, and the life. And it is in Jesus that we find our only protection and salvation. St. Paul ends with pray, pray, pray. Prayer keeps us close to God, sensitive to God, in dialogue with God. Our human judgments about truth and integrity, about faith, about salvation, are potentially self-righteous and self-serving. To keep grounded, we need to listen to God and to one another. When under attack, cover ourselves in spiritual armor. Draw strength from spiritual food. Shortly, we will join together in communion. So let's do so prayerfully, with the utmost reverence, with the utmost awe, remembering all that Jesus has done. When he spoke up, Peter didn't know what lay ahead, but instinctively he recognized the power and the truth in Jesus. Where else can we go? Says Peter. We know that you are the Holy One of God. Let's make Peter's words our own. Where else can we go? We know that you are the Holy One of God. So let's pray. Guide us, O Lord, in all times of trial, that through them we may meet your Son, Christ our Lord, and find all hope and joy. Amen.